You are listening to BensTorah.com.
There is a very, very intimate connection on a certain level when it comes to the bringing of the Korban Pesach that Klal Yisrael did when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and ultimately the Sfiras Omer, which we do today, and according to what I'm going to teach you tonight, which Klal Yisrael did even when they left Mitzrayim, going back to the first counting that they did between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Now let me explain to you from the very beginning where I'm coming from. If you look in the sheet from the Haggadah that we did at the night of Pesach, there's a piece in the actual sheet in front of you on the right-hand side on the word V'rav, when the Darshan in HaPasek, K'mo Shenema Revava K'tzame Chasada N'Satich V'atirbi V'tigli V'atavol Badal Yadoyim Shodayim Nechonu Sarech Tzimeach At Erem V'Erya V'ever Olayach V'Erech Mispasesit P'damayi V'amoloch P'damayi Chi V'amoloch P'damayi Chayi. So, a lot of Haggadahs like this one have that entire paragraph. Some don't have it at all. I mean, some have only part of it, not the whole thing. But the fact is, those who do have the full nusach, and in fact, when Art Scroll decided to make their Haggadah, they made with the full nusach itself, which is the more traditional nusach. So this is a pasuk from Yecheskel, which has to be understood. And when you understand what this Medrash Chazal is, you will then understand what I'm going to be doing tonight. The Torah tells us that ultimately speaking, Klal Yisrael were going to be redeemed from Mitzrayim at the specific time of post-Makkas Becharos. The Rebbe Hashem already said very, very much up front, even going back to the Pasha Shemos, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, after Makkas Becharos takes place, I'm going to tell you at that point in time, Paro will let you go, and the Cheiros of Klal Yisrael will begin. That was said all the way going back to the very beginning. And the fact of the matter is, Chazal tell us that's what actually happened. What actually happened was, is that on the Makkas Becharos took place, Bechatzos, Chazal tell us Paro was frantic, because even the powerful Paro realized he could not stop with all the power he had, the Malach HaMavis, from killing his son, who was a Bechar. And the Medrash tells us Paro was so frantic because he also realized one reality, he himself was a Bechar. And he hadn't died yet. So he ran out of the palace without asking anybody to be his shliach, running into the Jewish neighborhood saying, where does Moshe, where does Aaron live? I got to get the hold of these guys immediately. And ultimately speaking, when he saw Moshe and Aaron, even though he had told them they're never going to see his face anymore, if you remember when he kicked them out, the fact of the matter is, he said to them that Ad Kan, you are Avdei Paro, Mikan Ve'elach, you are now officially Avdei Hashem. And the Medrash says that Rabban Shem amplified Paro's voice, that when he said it to Moshe Aaron, the entire empire of Mitzrayim heard him say it, where the king is announcing that the Jews now are no longer Avdei Paro, they're Avdei Hashem, which means the B'nai Charim. So he was the Mavasatov of their change of status. Now, the only problem was for Klal Yisrael to be Zorcha for the ultimate Makkas and the Makkah B'Patish, and that is the Makkas B'Choros, they had to be people who had some spiritual worth and Zuchuyot to be Zorcha to have such miraculous geulos taking place, and change of status, and ultimately you see as Mitzrayim. The problem is, according to the Medrash, when you read this pasuk, he says, as numerous as you were, Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael literally were reproducing on incredible levels, some say, Shish Bekeres Echad, the problem is, even though you seem to be on a physical level reproducing and producing and producing, and therefore you're like the Tzemach Hasad and such, but the problem is, at Erev Erya is interpreted to mean you were naked from mitzvahs and zechuyot. I saw you literally mistamei with memtesh shari tuma, and therefore the Rabban Hashem said I had a big problem. What was the zechus or the zechuyot that you were possessing at that time to give me the reason and justification to mashana tev and do what I had promised to cause the redemption to take place? You mamish were naked from mitzvahs. You were mitzvahless when it came to zechuyot. at Erev Ve'eria. Now, what did the Rabban Hashem do? So the Rabban Hashem, realizing that dilemma and that problem, already prepared the refuah before he had to do that matra. And therefore, so the two things the Rabban Hashem did for Klal Yisrael, to give them a zechuyot to justify his miraculous salvation in the season. Now, what was that? There were two areas where Klal Yisrael sinned very severely. Number one, Chazal tell us, is that Klal Yisrael, even before Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael, when they came down to Mitzrayim, Yosef with Yaakov had a master plan. Their master plan was that Klal Yisrael should live in a ghetto in Goshen, separate from the rest of the Egyptian empire. If the Jews are living separately from them and not basically exposing themselves to the culture of Mitzrayim, then the Masara and the Hashkafa of what the others had taught their children and developed a Am HaTorah, even Einam Tzuvaisa, that would be able to be preserved. And also the idea is Lagubar Tzvani only came temporarily, and keeping them away from the Egyptian empire and allowing them to observe the mitzvahs that they were Mekayim up until this point in time, keeping them separate and therefore preventing assimilation and acculturation, was the master plan of Yaakov and Yosef to maintain their zchus, and that at the end, when the gula is going to take place, they would have the spiritual merit. Klal Yisrael undermined that in a number of ways. Number one, the Torah tells us that as soon as Yaakov and the entire Yudbei Shvatim brothers and Yosef passed away, Klal Yisrael, who were left in Mitzrayim, all of a sudden developed a new thesis. And that is, if we want to prevent the Mitzrayim and the Mitzrayim from hating us or hurting us, and Yosef no longer here to protect us, so therefore, maybe to mekarav ourselves to them and to show our willingness to integrate with them might eliminate anti-Semitism. So they thought by assimilating on some level and acculturating and moving from Goshen into the actual neighborhoods of the Mitzrayim, that would mekarav the Mitzrayim to them, were friends, were nice, etc., take away anti-Semitism and allow them to survive. But that was only the beginning. The worst of the worst is they took the mitzvah yechida that literally up until that point in time that they were mitzvah to do up and above Zayin mitzvahs, and that is bris milah. And Chazal say, they said to themselves, when we go to the bathhouses with the Egyptians, don't want to appear as if we're gemalt, and they're not gemalt. So if that's the case, they were mevatel the mitzvah bris milah. Now, whether that means zemachlokas, whether that means they stopped circumcising entirely, whether that means they circumcised, but then they were moshech the erla to appear, there's two different days you have in Chazal. But one thing is for sure, that whatever they did was a bitul milah on some level. So Chazal said the mitzvah hayechida that literally distinguished them from the umah to olam and was mekadosh them and gave them tamimus kait, it's like yud gimel brisas l'kedemer, they were mevatel that. So the kimel akumah, the assimilation and acculturation, and the bitul bris milah was the beginning of their ultimate assimilation and acculturation, to the point that they ultimately live next to the Egyptians. They look like them in nakedness. That's why, you know, you are of area, you're naked in the bathhouse, you look like an Egyptian. And that is despite the fact that it says they were, they could have spoken their Lashon HaKodesh and gone outside with their Jewish clothing and used their Jewish names, but that's where it stopped and that's where it ended. When it came to their daily conduct, the fact that they wanted to live intimately in the neighborhoods, and they started going to the circuses and to the stadiums and to all the functions that the goyim went, and they were mevatel bris milah. So ultimately speaking, the externalization of what they did, but the lack of the internalization, and on the contrary, the absorption of the culture, they literally were in a state of total chiyuv kalapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabban Hashem said there, for the first tshuvas hamishkal you have to do to be zoch for geula is a couple of days before you go out of Mitzrayim, ka'arul yechuba. You can't partake of the Korban Pesach at night unless you are gemalt. So every Jew, except for Shevet Levi, were not gemalt. you're going to have to go undergo bris milah, whether you're a little baby or your person is 90 years old, you have to undergo bris milah. The fact that that was done just a couple of days before they went out put them in tremendous sakanas nefashos, because the fact of the matter is, a person who's old, who's going through a surgery, on that age, going to a hot desert with that, you're looking for trouble. But Klal Yisrael were willing to do such. So the Tshuvas HaMishkal on the Bittul Bris Milah and the assimilation and acculturation on some level because of that was rectified by their Mesiach Nefesh gamaling themselves 3-4 days before they went out into the Midbar by the Gula. It was a Tshuvas HaMishkal. So that's the first B'damai Chayi. That Mesiach Nefesh of the Bris Milah that they did then, which had multiple purposes, it was a Kapara on the Bittul, and also that was a Machshav for them to be able to partake of the Korban Pesach, otherwise for Arul Yelchaba. It also had a third purpose. It was a Bris Milah Shem Geris, Chazal tell us. That was the Bris Milah that later on was part of Klal Yisrael's Geris, which took place at HaSinai, but the Bris Milah already took place in Mitzrayim before they took of the Korban Pesach. So therefore, that's the first B'damai Chayi and the first rectification. The second zechus was, if Klal Yisrael steeped in Mentah Sharetum, it means they were literally enamored and involved in the idolatrous culture of Mitzrayim, which meant whatever gods they worshipped, whatever gods they admired, whether they liked it or not, they became involved with that culture. And if the Malachim said upon Jews, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the difference between them and the Mitzri? It shows you how bad the assimilation and the acculturation was. They were steeped in idolatry. Rav Hashem says, if you're steeped in idolatry, so what chus do I have to redeem you and do miracles, to redeem you? Your mom is, you're assimilating and acculturated. You violated what Yaakov and Yosef wanted to do. So Rav Hashem says, in order to rectify that, there's another mysterious nefesh you're going to have to do. And that was the concept of Korban Pesach. Here Chazal is very, very explicit about it. What Chazal point out is the mysterious nefesh of Korban Pesach didn't just take place on the night of Pesach when they ate the Korban Pesach, but the mysterious nefesh of Korban Pesach already began on Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos before they went out. Why? Because the Rebbe Shem told them on that Shabbos, I wanted to go out and buy those animals and schlep them through the street in front of the Egyptians. And when the Egyptians ask you why you're basically taking their gods, because the sheep represented the astrological Taurus, the actual basically the ram in the astrology of Shemayim, which they worship really the stars and Chamazalas. The animals down here were only symbolic animals representing the deity in heaven, but they looked upon them as being an extension of that deity in a physical form of the animal. But it's really the worship of the sheep in Shemayim, the star formation, that was the real deity. This was just a animal form of it down here on earth. Now, and a lot of idolatry was like that. So the Baal Hashem says, I want you to walk them in the streets, and when they ask you, why are you walking in the streets? I want you to tell them what your plans are a couple of days from now. So Chazal tell us that when they walked animals to the streets, the Egyptians said, why in the world are all these Jews taking thousands and thousands of our sheep and walking in the streets? What are we making, pets? So they basically said, no, in about 4 days, 5 days from now, we're going to basically make these pets, these animals, into lamb chops. We're basically going to shech them, kill them, and we're going to basically roast them, so it's going to become like, we're not going to have lamb chops. We're going to have millions of people partaking of your God eating lamb chops for 5 days. Chazal say, one of the reasons it's called Shabbos HaGadol is there would have been a major, most cases, there would have been a pogrom, a mass pogrom. But the fact is they were so sittering from the Jews because of the 11 Makas up until them, and the Israel was so destroyed economically, physically, and every other way because of those Makas. Mamash the Zagahat Meira to jump upon the Jews. So Chazal say Shabbos HaGadol because the Gadol, that the pogrom didn't take place. But for the Jews to have the guts to do and say that, tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. Now, on the night of Pesach, this was the completion of that specific Nisayan. Why? So Rebbeinu Shem says, I just don't want you just in the quietude of your house at the Seder, take the Korban Pesach, yeshechted, and basically eat it in the group. I want you to taunt the Egyptians that night in two ways. Number one, I want you to show disdain to the lamb by taking the blood and smearing it on the doorways to show them that you disrespected their sheep by taking the blood and using it now for either paint or whatever it is, but that was a form of disdain and disrespect for the sheep. The second halacha was, I am basically telling you that even though by other kerbanos you can eat the meat, you can eat the flesh, you can eat the bones, on this specific carbon, there's Isa Shvira Satsamas. Why? Because I want you to take the skeletal structure of this animal after you eat all the flesh and throw it in the streets for them to realize
the shape.
That you can see that in fact the blood and the bones shows you kept your promise that you had lamb chops that night. That in fact what you said you're going to do, you carried out. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, when Klal Yisrael did that, that was a total bittul of the major Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. It showed that the Mem Tesh Aritumah, which and they're involved with Avodah Zarah, and the lead Avodah Zarah, which was the sheep, had now been severed from them because they demonstrated a total disdain and disrespect to it. They ate it, they disrespected it. So Chazal said that was a bittul Avodah Zarah, and that was a counter against what the Malachim said, Halalu Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael, by doing this act of Mesiras Nefesh, that was the second Bidamaya Chayi. That's the second Damaya Chayi. So the acts, therefore, of the Tikkun, of the Bris Milah reactivation, and the concept of slaughtering the Korban Pesach, which was a bittul of the Avodah Zarah, these both, Mesiras Nefesh and Machrechi, now gave me the corporate ability to justify in Shemayim why Klal Yisrael now have the schus of being redeemed. So that was the beginning of the process that allowed the redemption to take place. And that's why we say, even though you are in Ve'erya, you counted it with the Mesiras Nefesh of Bris Milah, the Mesiras Nefesh of Shechting the animal, and that therefore brought you to a Zuchus of Yitziyah. Now, what I found interesting, which I think you'll find interesting, is I found some gematrias that literally, when I saw them, I said, you guys are going to love this. Listen to this. When it came to gematrias, the pasuk says, "Mishchu kechulachem tzon lemishpachoseichem v'shachtu ha-pasuk." So in that pasuk, the Medrash makes the following comment: "Amalo Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, kol zman sheYisrael ovdim lelohei Mitzrayim lo yigalu. As long as Klal is still involved with the gods of Egypt, they can't undergo redemption. So he said to Moshe, "Leich amat lehem." That they should do tshuva. So how should they do tshuva? Mishkuchu klomar, mish yidechem avodah zarah, ukuchu lehem tzon, v'shachtu Eloheim shel Mitzrayim, v'asu pesach. And once you do that, HaKadosh Baruch will be pasach aleichem, makas b'charos, you'll be saved, and the gula will take place. Now, Chazal tell us that you therefore had classically been told, Sur me'rav yasei tov kuchu. When it says mishkuchu, mishv aschem me'avodah zarah kuchu mitzvayis. So the Korban Pesach therefore was the classical example of sur me'ra, tshuvas ha'mishkal, and vasei tov. Now they point out that the sur me'ra, the gematria of sur me'ra, comes to the number 576. The gematria of mishku ukuchu lachem comes to the gematria of 576. So the shechita of the Korban Pesach therefore was based upon gematria, the ultimate team of sumira of a bittul avodah zarah based upon those gematrias. That's number one. Number two, Chazal tell us that the shachtu ha-pesach, that expression is the gematria of 476. The gematria of the term Kol Elohei Mitzrayim is the gematria 476. When they shechted the Pesach, it wasn't just a bittul of the Korban Pesach, but it was a bittul of all the other gods of Egypt as well, which meant to say, if you are mevatel the leading deity of Avodah Zarah Mitzrayim, it meant there was a bittul of all the others as well. So on a gematria level, the shechita of the Korban Pesach showed a total bittul of all the gods of Egypt, of all the Avodah Zarah being mevatel in the slaughter of the Korban Pesach. So Chazal therefore teaches, based upon this, that therefore Klal Yisrael had the schus of redemption and yitziyah because of the Ma'achid Rachayi, the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh of Bris Milah, and the mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh of Shechita and Achila and Bittul of the Korban Pesach. And the Rambam and Rav Yochanan has a whole piece upon this, where he really builds this up on a crescendo, how important that was, not only in Mitzrayim, but it sent a message around the world of Bittul of Avodah Zarah, that Klal Yisrael now declaring to the world, all these gods you worshipped are worth nothing with nothing. And the Bittul caused a tremendous Kiddush Hashem for Klal Yisrael, and it showed to the rest of the world how foolish you are in worshipping these things that have no power. Now, but there's only one problem. When Klal Yisrael left, the day they left, they came to Moshe, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we want to remind you of something. And that is, when you came to us in your Shlichus over 12 months ago, and you told us that Hashem sent you as the goal of Klal Yisrael, so we asked you for a sign. How do we know that you're the Richtige Shliach? So the Rebbeinu Shlom already told Moshe, where Moshe knew they're going to ask him that question. So Hashem says in the Torah, in Pasha Shemos, Zelech Oz Kenuch Shlachticha, Votziach Es Am Mitzrayim, Tavdem Lekim Alahar Hazeh. So he told Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, when you're going to leave Mitzrayim, you're not just leaving Mitzrayim, a base Avodim, but I'm going to take you immediately to a har, a mountain, and you're going to have a confrontation and meet the God of the world, the God of the universe, the God of Briyat Olam, the God who's the God of every human being, especially the God of Israel. So Klal Yisrael knew they had this Haftacha, and they realized that the full Lashonis of Geula, the last of the full Lashonis is once they leave Mitzrayim, there has to be a going to the mountain for the fourth Lashon of Geula, ultimately speaking, to basically take place. Where Klal Yisrael became symbolically married to the Rebbeinu Shalom, etc., and that conclusion and finality took place. So Geulas Mitzrayim was for the purposes of a Matan Torah. Chazal have to say, we thank Hashem because of Peduseinu v'Geulaseinu. The Peduseinu is our redemption from Mitzrayim. Geulaseinu is the ultimate Geula and redemption by Kabbalah Satara. Now, so the Medrash tells us that Jews are impatient people. We know that. We don't like the dilly-dally. So the day, the day the Klal Yisrael left, the leaders came to Moshe and said to Moshe, okay, Moshe, part of it you did already. So when are we reaching, you know, this mountain over you talked about? When is that taking place? Later on today, tomorrow? So Moshe said to them, listen to me. I never said as soon as you leave Egypt, immediately within 24 hours, we're going to get to the Har. So I'm giving you now the way that you're going to figure out how we're going to get there. I'm giving you a number. And when you count these number of days, by the time you get to the last day of this count, we will be at that mountain. So you're going to count now 50 days. And by day 50, you'll be standing at the foot of Har Sinai, to basically meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he was saying he counted 50 days. Sefiras Omer begins basically the day after Yetzias Mitzrayim, not on the 15th, it begins on the 16th. But if you include the 15th in the Cheshvan, the day left, that makes it day 50, because it's 1 plus another 49. So when you count 50 days, day 50, you're going to get to that mountain. And the Balei Kabbalah point out that in actuality, Moshe says, don't think I didn't already allude this to you. Why? Because when I told you, when I quoted the Pasuk, B'yatzam Mitzrayim, Tavdun Esel Kim Alahar Hazeh, I said Tavdun, I added an extra Nun. I could have said Tavdu. What does the Nun represent? 50. So I already alluded to you that the Avodah on the mountain is going to be 50 days from now. So I'm not telling you something new, you just didn't understand in totality, but that just confirms what I said to you at the time, going back to the very beginning. Now we have the following question. The Rebbeinu Shem could do whatever he wants. And the same way everything was up in the Ashleib Derech HaTeva, if he wanted to take them with the Anani Avtarik, which was God's divine hovercraft, I call it a hovercraft, because thou said it encompassed Klal Yisrael on all six sides, so the feet didn't even touch the floor of the Midbar when Anani covers surrounded them. And it was a hovercraft containing 3 million men, women, and children, so there was never a hovercraft vehicle that ever had such a containment capacity. So if he wanted to miraculously take them to the Har, that day or the next day, nothing was behind, preventing HaKadosh Baruch from doing such. But he bedafka wanted that they should not reach Har Sinai until day 50. And we have to understand why. Why did he want 50 days to pass before Kabbalah's Torah? So now we come to the concept of Sfiras Omer. We come to the question which everybody asks, going back to the Gemara Masechtas Menachos, that talks about two things. If you look in the Mar Makamos, on page 1, you have Sfat Lachem Amarach the Shabbos, Miyamarach is Omer Tanufa Shetel Yispaniyana, which tells us you have to count from Machras, which means from the 16th on, and you're going to count, and the 50th day is going to be the day you're counting for. Now, what is interesting to note is that if you look on page number 2 of the Mar Makamos, the Gemara says, Masechtas Menachos, Sefatim Lechem, what's the Lechem? Shedevisil Lechecha Echad, which means it's not sufficient to have the Bezdin or Moshe count on behalf of Klal Yisrael like you do by Yovel, things like that, where the Bezdin counted the 50 years and on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Every Jew has to count by themselves. And the Torah doesn't tell you why, but there's a personal requirement to count by yourself. You have to do the counting. That's number one. Number two, if you look on the bottom of that page, you have the famous machlokes amongst Amorayim, how they counted in the Tekufas Amorayim. And most yeshivas Amorayim used to count the days and count the weeks based upon the two psukim. One and part of the days is the pasuk in Emor, and the weeks are the pasuk that's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. That's quotation of both on page number 1. 2, which is Sheva Shavuos, Tisbulav Yelchemish Bekama, so Tachalispa Sheva Shavuos, that's the source of counting the weeks of Sfira, and the mitzvah counting the days is learned from quotation 1, which talks about counting those 50 days. Now, so Chazal tell us, but there was an Ameimar who basically only counted the days and didn't count the weeks, and he says because Zech L'Migdashu. Now the obvious question is, what's the machlokes amongst the Amorayim? So the Ran at the end of Masechtas Pesachim says that the Rishon have a machlokes how to learn this. Is the machlokes that everybody held that since after Churban HaBayis there's no Karbanos, the mitzvah sphere which depends upon bringing a Karbanayim has been reduced down to a Darabanan? And the machlokes is, did the Darabanan was official called the Ratikar Rabban came to Raisa, Tikkun therefore on the Raisa had to count the days and weeks, Rabbinic had to count the days and weeks, or was the counting a special din called the Zech LeMikdash, and therefore it's modified, count days and not weeks, so that's the Machlok Samaroyim, which would therefore be the source of Shitas, many of the French, German, Balei Taisa, that Sri Bezman Azeh, until the Mikdash is built, is only a rabbinical mitzvah itself. I mean, that's the way a good group of Balei Taisa is Paskin. But the fact of the matter is, the Rambam and the Bahag and many Rishonim, and the Mishnah Berurah himself says, and the Bi'ur Halacha, something quite interesting. He says, when the Shulchan Aruch wrote the Shulchan Aruch, the coolest he built in would predicate on the fact that based upon the literature they had available in Kisvayad, up until that point, it seemed to imply that the Rav Hashita was that Sfir is the Rabbanan, and only Yechidei Segula held it's a Deraisa. But by the time the Chafetz Chaim came around, there were so many Kisiyat and Sfarim available. When he went through his library, he started going through Rishonim, he realized there are so many Rishonim who agreed with the Rambam and the Bahag that Sfir Bezman is a Deraisa. He said, in Halach Lamas, if I wrote the Shulchan Aruch, I would not treat it as a Derabbanan, as the Mechaber and the Ramah did. I would treat it as a din of a Savik of a Deraisa, and be much more machman when it comes to the formulation of the Halachos. Therefore, for the Mishnah Berurah says, I would say you have to count Bedavka after Tzeis, and don't count Bein HaShemashos or right before Tzeis, like the Balei Taisa do. You know, he had certain chumras, he added because he felt we have to deal with the Deraisa. So the question is, but where did the Rambam get the Deraisa from? The fact is, there's no covenant of it being brought today. So how did the Rambam get there? So the Aruch HaShulchan is the one who asked the question. And what the Aruch HaShulchan says is that in actuality, the Kesef Mishnah asked the question on the Rambam. And he says, the Rambam learned the Gemara Menachos differently than the Balei Taisa. He says, the Machlokes, where they count days or weeks, where they count only days, was a machlokes beguf of the question, did you hold post-Churban HaBayis is the sphere of Deraisa Derabbanan? Those Amoraim who held that it's still a Deraisa, like the Rambam holds, counted days and weeks because the Deraisa hasn't ended. The Amei Mehel, like that sheet, it's only the Rabbanim, not the Raisa. And it's the Rabbanim, so therefore, Al Zech LeMikdash, he counted days and not 2 weeks to show it's only rabbinical, it's not a Raisa. But in actual, the other one who counted days and weeks held it's a Raisa. The Rambam passing like Rove Amarayim, and therefore, if that's the case, he passing it's Minat Torah. Now, so says therefore, the Aruch Shulchan the following question. If you're telling me Sfira without the Beis HaMikdash, without HaKrovos HaKorbanos, is a Deraisa of Zman HaZeh, if that's what you're telling me, so therefore, what is therefore the Mechayiv Sfira Sa'imer? What's its function? What is its purpose? And therefore, why do you call it Sfira Sa'imer? What does that have to do with the Karban Aimer? There's no Karban Aimer of Zman HaZeh. So comes along the Aruch Shulchan with the following Chiddush. He says, in actuality, the one who asked the question before me is the Ran at the end of Masechus Pesachim. And the Ran says, really, the first Sfira Soimah did not begin from Matan Torah when we were given this Tayag Mitzvah, but the first time Klai Yisrael counted Sfira Soimah was the day they left Mitzrayim. When Moshe told them, I want you to count 50 days on the day of Yitzhiah, and day 50 you're going to have Kabbalah Satara Tagalabah is going to take place, he was telling them that this is the first Sfira you're going to do. And this sphere is going to be a sphere you not only do now, but it's going to be a sphere you do each and every year. But this sphere itself has multiple purposes. This sphere is not only for you to know the date of exactly when we're going to arrive in Mitzrayim, but the days of counting 50, which is 49 plus 1, has another symbolism and significance. And what is that? Klal Yisrael, listen to me. This the Ran doesn't say, but this is what basically Aruch HaShulchan claims, and the Mekubalim surely say what I'm telling you now. I redeemed you from Mitzrayim, b'nemaya chayi, with the schus of Bris Milah and the schus of Korban Pesach. That gave me the ability to justify doing that. But there's one problem, Klal Yisrael. You never rectified the Memtesh Shari Tumah that you were contaminated with upon your Yitziah. That has not been cleansed. And the proof is at the Kriyas Yamsuf, some halachim still tainted. Halala oydev halala gezara. So how in the world were they going to be able to get rid of that thing against them? Because doing the Bris Milah and shekin the Korban Pesach did not eliminate the Mentesh Shari Tumah. So the Rebbein Hashem did for them a favor. I'm going to allow you to take 49 days to get from here to ultimately speaking to the Har Sinai. And those 49 days, I'm going to give you the ability to do a tshuva samishkal. Each day, you're going to basically replace one of the shari etuma with shari kedusha that you're going to be doing tshuva and spiritual things that I'm going to help you to do. So by the time you get to Har Sinai on day 50, all 49 shari etuma will be replaced by 49 shari kedusha, and you're going to be so pure on the day of Kabbalah Satera. Then later on, the Zohar and the Gemara and Shabbos use the same term, Pasak Zuhamasa, that the spiritual contamination of Klai Yisrael is totally cured, that by the time they stood at Har Sinai, they not only rectified the Nemtash Shari Tumah, but they even rectified the Chet of Adam Vechava, and they were in the state of Kedusha Vatara, Kedem the Chet of the Achila Sa'etz Hadas, which the Rosh Hashanah asked going back to Bnei Yisrael. That's how. Now the obvious question is, if that's the case, the rectification of the Memtesh Shari Tumah was there for the purpose of the initial Sfira Soimer that took place between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satara. And that was the Siba of the 49 days plus one. Now, the only question everybody asks, and the Mekubalim deal with this, is it took him 210 years to assimilate in culture and to be contaminated with Mentesh Shari Tumah. How in the world, in a process of contamination that took 210 years, were they able to clean up the mess in 49 days plus one? I mean, that's the question everybody asks. I mean, explain that to us. It doesn't make sense. It's at least going to take a couple hundred years to clean it up. You're telling me in 49 days. So Chazal say, this is therefore the reason for another factor. Where everybody says the only purpose of the Ananiya covered was to serve as a protective hovercraft to protect them against the elements of the Midbar, that is not correct. That was one purpose of the Ananiya covered, but the Ananiya covered were in actuality, they had another function. They also were an intense manifestation of Shechinas Hashem that they were exposed to during those 49 days. Chazal tell us in a pasuk in Parshas, later on Parshas Emor, that what? We have to mekayim the mitzvah sukkah on sukkahs. Ki besukkos hoshafti es bnei Yisrael. To commemorate. So there's a machlokes on sukkah. What are the sukkos? Rabbi Akiva says sukkos mamish. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says anani akavet. Now, what do anani akavet have to do with the word sukkah? So Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, who was a makubal, he was a Talmud of the Talmud of the Ramban, Talmud of the Rashba, says in his Sefer Kara Kenach the following. He says the word sukkah, besides meaning a booth, has another meaning in Tanakh. And in fact, the meaning can be found going back to our Halakha Sari Imenu. Sari was called, in Pashas Nalach Nalach Sosh, it was called Yiske. Yud Samich Chof Hey. Why we should call it Yiske? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi quotes B'Shem the Medrash, She'er Sochsa Baruch HaKodesh. What attracted Avraham to Sarah is he saw her being a spiritual soulmate, that she was literally embellished in the spiritual ecstasy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She was able to see Baruch HaKadosh. In fact, Chazal later on pointed out, she was so spiritual, Avram was tuffled to her in Ruach HaKadosh, and tuffled to her when it comes to Nebuah. The proof was, when they argued about Yishmael, Shema B'Kayla, and Rashi says, that Avram was lesser in a darga than so when it came to her Ruach HaKadosh and HaKadu and her spirituality. Says Chazal, what's B'sukkos HaShafti? That those sukkahs which were a manifestation of Kedusha Shechinas Hashem allowed Klal Yisrael to be Secha Baruch HaKadosh as spiritual boosters that they should accomplish in 49 days with those without embellishment of the Anah Kavod would have taken them 210 years to Masakin Zayin. So if that's the case, the Ananiyah covered with a secret weapon plus Klal Yisrael having 49 days, so they should be mishtadal themselves each day to take away a different shara tumitra. That with the help of the Anani Kavod allowed him to accomplish for 49 days, Rabbeinu Bachya says, which should have taken hundreds of years to accomplish, in order by the time they come to Har Sinai. Pasak Zul Masam, the Ruach HaKodesh was reinstated, the Umamish was so Kaddish Vatar, even Kedin Lechet of the Eitz Adas, and that gave Hashem the right at Har Sinai to say to them, you're so spiritually pure, you're so kadosh, I'm going to do something for you now in world history I will never do again. And that is, everybody momentarily, according to Chazal, were raised, all 3 million Menuhin children were raised to a level of Moshe's Nevuah capacity. So when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe was up, and he heard, and he spoke to Hashem, panim upon him, as the way it says, Edna Baloischa, all the milos of Moshe Rabbeinu on the highest dag of Nevuah, Klal Yisrael were given a matana on that day of Kabbalah Satara because of their spiritual purity now and the tikkunim, to be raised momentarily so that when Hashem addressed them, they should hear the Aseret Dibros, like Moshe heard the Aseret Dibros. They should hear Hashem speaking to Moshe and hear the conversations. When Moshe is told, you are authorized by me to be the sole person to give over Tayyag Mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael, because at Hasin they only received 10. That whole bunch that still had to be given, but they have to be convinced that only Moshe could give it to them and nobody else could give it to them, and nobody later on could take it away from them. So therefore, the Rambam and the Rambam both say, in the respect of the Rambam in Chumash and the Rambam in Yesod Yatara, says that Halacha Lamasa, Klal Yisrael was so spiritually pure and clean by the time they came to Kabbalah Pazuk Masam, they were raised to Moshe's Shechina Kedusha of Nevuah momentarily, heard Hashem speak to them panim upon him. They heard it, they might have been frightened and scared, but they had the Tahara level of Kedusha, no longer that they had the Mem Tashare Tuma, and therefore, at that point in time, and that therefore justified that step. So therefore, the Sphira Sa'ima therefore became, on Eretz Yisrael, a time of spiritual rectification. The Chiddush of the Torah, and this is something mentioned by the Maran Chal, or Moshe Chaim Lotzato, in the Sefer Derech Hashem, which he has, I call that the Encyclopedia on Kabbalistic Literature, which he created, and there's a separate chapter on Moadim that he has. In the Moedim chapter, he says, there's something special about time in Torah and Hashkafis Yehadus and Klal Yisrael that I want to mention now and understand it. Klal Yisrael don't believe that timeline is a solid line starting here and continuing and never repeating itself. Time in the world of Chazal looks like a spring, which means it goes around in a circular motion, and that circular motion just continues and continues continuously each and every, which means when you go through the cycle each and every year of the months and days that correspond to the months and days of miracles of the past, the Ribbono Shel Olam embedded in Zman, which is a live entity, that the tikkun that took place in the past on those days of the year, like Yetzias Mitzrayim or Matan Torah or Sukkot, whatever tikkunim took place, you, when you go to the cycle every year and go to that date, say on the night of Pesach, you come to Tesfah of Nisan, whatever form of tikkun took place on a macro level at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim takes place now on a micro level by us observing the mitzvahs of Pesach on the night of Pesach. Those mitzvahs allow us to be mukshar, to therefore have on a microcosm a tikkun taking place on that date. If that's the case, the 49 days that were there for the 49 days of tikkun neshom of Klai Yisrael that took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim were then enshrined in time to be mesukin in all later generations, a time of tikkun haneshama for Klai Yisrael from the time of Pesach to Shavuos. That's why the Ramban says that the time between Pesach and Shavuos was supposed to be one long Chol HaMoed joining Pesach to Shavuos Kabbalistically. And it should have been a time of Simcha and Baracha, but Nebuch turned it into the negative, was the death of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. But otherwise, on a Deraisa level, it was a time of positivism. So says therefore the Mekubalim, let's now look, going back to quotation one, on page number of the Marim HaKaimis. What's interesting and fascinating is that in Pasuk 1 I told you is the Makar for counting the days of Sfira, and Pasuk 2 is the Makar for counting the weeks of Sfira. But what's interesting is, in counting the days, there's an added expression that seems to be superfluous. If it's only counting days, what do I need? Sheva Shabbosos Tamimus Tiyena. That is not counting days. That seems like you're counting weeks over here and using funny language. Sheva Shabbosos. What does that mean in counting the 49 to 50 days? What does that have to do with anything? So say the Mekubalim, and later I saw this explicitly in the Ksava HaKabbalah in his Perish L'Chumash, that the word Sheva Shabbosos, that the word Shabbos has many meanings. Not only does it mean refrain from doing work, but David, when he talked about his aspirations in spiritual attainment, he says in Sefer Tehillim, "Ach shalti meisher oisa vakeish, shifti bebeis Hashem kol mechayai, lach zemerim lavake beheichalos." He says that shifti or that Shabbos is not refrain from halacha. That means being involved in spiritual iyunim of spirituality, learning Torah, learning, being involved in ruchnius. And David says, "Halavai, my entire life, no matter what I'm busy doing, even secular stuff, I should be basically rooted and grounded in spirituality. Even when I'm in the street, I should feel like I'm in the base of Medrash, and therefore in Hashem's divine Shechina, should be a time of spiritual perfection, even when I'm not learning Torah in my personal base of Medrash." Says therefore the Ksava Kabbalah B'Shem L'Mukubalim.
And it says a double washing, like Shabbat, Shabbat, Tom.
Yeah.
Same concept, twice.
Yeah.
The
so the same thing. But over here, what he says over here on this is that the Ribbono Shel Olam said the counting of 49 days is not just a counting of 49 days, but it's a counting of seven times. Seven is a mispar of Tahara. You count Shivis Yomim when it comes to Zava undergoing Tahara or Zava undergoing Tahara. It's a count of Tahara's Hanida, counting 7 days of Avanidus. So the fact is, I want these 49 days to be a counting that's going to give you a spiritual rectification. The purpose is Timimos. It should bring you to Timimos. There's a pasuk of Hisalchon of Ehiyatamim. There's a pasuk of Tomi and Temshem Alokecha. That means achieving spiritual perfection and the vacus in connection to Hashem on the highest level. That's what sphere is supposed to be. The counting, the 49 days, is supposed to be a counting of spiritual perfection, not just counting calendar days. So if that's the case, the mitzvahs for each and every year, therefore, really has nothing to do with the Karban Omer or the Shtei Lechem. It's the time of rectification we have going back to the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim that is made there for, as a mitzvah kula dairos. That every year God gives us a matana from Pesach to Shavuos to undergo a microcosmic level of rectification by counting the Sefiras Omer. Now, the proof text of this, Rabbi Yisai, is if you take out your siddur and you look at the Sefiras Omer, there are a whole bunch of tefillos you say at the end of the sphere, if you say it. And the last one, where you put the actual name of the Midas of Hashem on each and every day, it says, what's the purpose of counting? That we should be able to makadish and take away the klipos and the tumos and all the other contamination we have. And through the counting of the sphere, we should be able to once again revive in ourselves the ability to get kedusha for tahara because of the counting sphere sa'imer. How do we know this? So the Payut who wrote that piece says, it comes from the pasuk over here, and he quotes the pasuk, Sfatim Lechem, and says, Sheva Shabbos Tamim Mistiyena. From here we derive the purpose of sphere is spiritual rectification. Tikkun HaNeshama, the Tahara of Klal Yisrael. So it says there for the Aruch HaShulchan, that if that's the case, Sfiris Om, if it really is not for the purpose of Karban, it just so happens that the sphere counts, starts counting from the day the carbon is brought. In fact, that's the pshat of the pasuk, Sfiris Omer. It's a sphere that we start counting because Hashem says the date to start counting is when you bring the carbon Omer. Hasfira Shabbat Miyom Havas Omer. And that's why many pasukim hold that saying Omer, as the rabbi mentioned downstairs, is not even ma'akev. If you say this is X amount of days without saying Omer, according to most Rishonim, Yosef the Mitzvah Sfiris Omer, you don't have to say Omer, because it's not a din in Omer. It's a din in counting 49 days and using it for spiritual rectification in those 49 days. So if that's the case, it could be a deraisa today because the rectification is indelible in time. The same way Kedusha's Pesach is indelible and Shavuos is indelible because of the cyclical nature of time and the microcosmic tikkunim. Sphere is also deraisa. And that's basically the source of the Shitas Haram, Abhag, and those Rishonim will help Sphere Zmanas as a deraisa. It's not dependent on Karbanos. But there is a symbolism to the Karbanos. Why did Hashem sandwich it at the end of the day between Sphiris Omer and bringing the Shtei Lechem? So here the Aruch HaShulchan says very simply, if it's a time of spiritual rectification and we're reliving Chayav Adam Liras Atzmo, what Klal Yisrael experienced when they left Mitzrayim, they had still Menta Shari Tuma. By the time the sphere ended and they had a total Tahara, so if we had Menta Shari Tuma, we were animalistic, we were like behemoths. Michael Behemoth is Sa'irim. So you start with the carbon of Sa'irim, which is a Michael B'Shoyu, we're very animalistic, we're contaminated in Tuma like a behemoth. What's chitim? That's basa b'dam food. So by the time we came to Sinai in the Shtei Lechem, we brought chitim to show we're now worthy to call ourselves human beings, we rectified ourselves, we used that tselem elokim. So therefore the karbanos change of the ingredient shows how the tikkun itself represents going from animal to a full-fledged human with a full tselem elokim. It sandwiched the counting to show you you're beginning on one level and ending up on a different level. So if that's the case, what I want to therefore mention tonight is the following. That ultimately speaking, the concept of Karban Pesach only began the process of being matar and cleansing Klal Yisrael when it came to giving them the schus and right not to be cleared naked in mitzvahs and be considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah and being kafirim and assimilation and acculturationist. That's loudest the suchus, which means the Karban Pesach, together with Bris Milah, that we shouldn't be Aron Ve'Arya, and give us the suchus for Yitzia. But that did not rectify our contamination of 49 Tumah. The Omer came along and completed the process, which means when it came to spiritual rectification, for that we needed the actual counting of the Sphira, and the Anani HaKava gave us the spiritual boosters and left an indelible impression in time that every year when you come through this Tekufa, you're going to be able to have a microcosmic form of that Tikkun, as the Maramchal and all the Mukubalim talk about. That's the concept of time being impressionable. And whatever ever Tikkun took place then, are re-experienced on the anniversary date of time in every subsequent year. So if that's the case, the Karban Pesach began the process of rectification, a bit of a desire, and Zechuyas to leave. But the real Makkah B'Patish of the process that made us Am Yisrael, that gave us the Kedusha, the Mekabel, the Torah, to be able to hear the Aseres Adibros and become the Am HaNivchar, for that we needed the Sfiras Omer Techila, which they did at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, because without that initial Sfira, they would not have been roy to have Kabbalah Zatara. They surely wouldn't have been roy to be raised to the level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, to hear Hashem speak to them directly on that level, even for momentarily purposes. So therefore, these two concepts, Karban Pesach, and then ultimately speaking, the Sfira, are both two parts of a bigger process of Klal Yisrael's ultimate rectification and elevation of becoming the Amanivchar, and therefore what we are zochet to do each and every chavin liras atzmo, kiliyatz mitzrayim, is we always think that the tekufa of tshuva and tikkun and such is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know? We don't think about the rest of the year. According to Chazal, Kabbalistically, we're making a mistake. The Rebbeinu Shem gave us another matana teifa, and that is that the tekufa from Pesach through Shavuos is in many respects maybe even more powerful than the tekufa between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. Because even though we say Lifnei Hashem Titara, and we hope and we aspire that we should reach Tara by the time we do tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and between that and Yom Kippur, but what's interesting, Chazal did not want us to rely upon 10 days. So what did they do? They gave us the whole Chodesh Elul, another 30 days. So 30 plus 10, 40. It comes pretty close to 49. So we have about 40 days to try to do tikkunim. So in many respects, it's modeled after the 49-day model, even though it's not 49 days. But in many respects, it might be 49 days. Why? Because if you add Sukkot into the picture, so between Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it always ends up that ultimately you have almost 49 days with all those Yom Tovim together. So the fact of the matter is, when you look at it from that perspective, you have the answer to all the questions I posed before. You saw the intricate spiritual connection between Rabbi Isai, the Korban Pesach, and the Sefiras Omer. You see now the reason for the extra expressions of Shev Shabbos to me, Mr. Yena. You now understand why it could be a deraisa today, even though we're not bringing physical Korbanos, because at the end of the day, the Korbanos are only symbolic of what you're trying to accomplish. But Sefira is independent of the Korbanot. It's a time of Tikkun Tshuva that's indelible in time, and therefore that deraisa quality is still exists b'zman hazeh. That's why Chazal tell us that the Mizbeach Kapara of Yom Kippur, and we don't bring all the Kabbalahs today, but the Itzumah Shel Yom, the Rambam says, for Kedushas Yom Kippur can do, if you do tshuva on that day, with all the Kabbalahs the Kohen brought, because the Kabbalahs are not Ma'akev, the Kedushas has the man of Yom Kippur. The Kedushas man between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, with tshuva, are able to give us total Tara and Kedusha if we use them properly and do a tshuva mi'av. So we see. Wow.
Rizal brings that it's all 49 days. No such thing as 33 days.
Right.
All 49, including that you can't take your haircut until after Shavuot.
Yeah. I mean, that's how far someone will go to show you the continuity and the need of all 49. That's why some people, especially Mukavam, will machmir not to take the leniency of the Lag BaOmer Kula. But what's interesting and fascinating, when you look at it from this perspective, Rabbi Isai, we now understand the juxtaposition, we now understand exactly the symmetry of what took place, and how the Rebbeinu Shlom, as long as we're in Mitzrayim, in the sphere of Tuma of Mitzrayim, the Mem Tashari Tuma cannot be ejected from us. We had to be put in an artificial environment of Anani HaKavit, which was total ruchnius of such intensity to literally be misalikas from all the tumas of the Avedis of the world, in order to ultimately give us a spiritual booster to able to rectify ourselves. That's the concept of Klal Yisrael there for Sukkos, for Shavtias, Klal Yisrael, and that's the connective link, Rabbi Isai. I think you got the message. I think you hear the ultimate essence of the Kesh over here. Rabbi Isai spread the message how powerful Sefiras Omer is. We're not just counting, we're in major rectification mode in Shuvah at this point in time. Let's hope we have the Shuvah of the Tara and Kedusha we're supposed to have by the time we come to Shavuos.
You have been listening to a presentation of Ben's Torah.com.